know if you've been paying attention to the news, you've been reading and probably laughing at the prediction about the end of the world that was made, that said it would end yesterday. And obviously that didn't happen. Although it's been pointed out that he made his calculations based on the Gregorian calendar, not the Julian, so we may have to wait another 12 days to see. But this is what we have come to call in recent years a teachable moment. It's the subject of Christ's return. It's not an insignificant point to our faith. We mention it in the Creed. We say that Christ will come again to judge both the living and the dead. So this is something that we affirm. But unfortunately, since the early days of the church, there have been heretics that have come up with all sorts of wild ideas and led people astray and gotten them whipped up into some sort of a fervor in anticipation of some imminent return of Christ based on their own predictions, either based, like this person, where he made his calculations based on certain numbers that he found in Scripture and went from there, or some sort of demonic vision that someone might have that they claimed gave them some insight into the end of the world. So the question we should ask today is, what should we make of all these things? And first of all, one thing that I would want us all to understand is that we shouldn't approach the Scriptures as if the Bible was some sort of a magical book. And unfortunately, we see many people do that. In recent years, I've heard Protestants who've come up with the idea, and it's based actually on Jewish Kabbalah, but they would take they would count a certain sequence of letters in the Hebrew Old Testament, and like every 10th letter or every 50th letter in a certain passage, and then they would try to put the words together that would be spelled by those letters and supposedly find some hidden prophecy. And so, for example, someone claimed that the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin was predicted because the Hebrew letters spelled out bang bang Rabin, and so that somehow prophesied his assassination. Someone else pointed out that, you know, Hebrew is a consonantal alphabet, and so basically you supply the vowels when you're doing this Kabbalah technique, and so it could have just as easily been bang bang Robin because the Batmobile lost a wheel, you know, or maybe Christopher Robin was shooting his pop gun in the 40-acre wood. And also other people, skeptics, have done things using the same technique and found the hidden message. Darwin was right. And so you can basically find just about anything you want with that sort of an approach to Scripture, and the fathers do not support that. The tradition of the church doesn't support that. There are also people who use other methods that I won't even describe for fear that someone will go home and try it, but methods of using the Bible to try to come up with some sort of an answer. You know, God, tell me what you want me to do, or what does the future hold for me? And then they'll use some method to come up with that in the Bible. Well, if you want to know what God's will is for you, the way to use the Bible to find that out is to open it up and to start reading. And then you'll find what the will of God is for you. It's not some magical trick. Also, the predictions about the end of the world have not, this is not the first time, even in recent memory, that we've had such things. In America, going back to the Great Awakening, there was a guy who predicted that the world would end in October of 1844, and that's where the Seventh-day Adventists came from, and several other smaller groups, because they're called Adventists because they believed that they were all worked up into a frenzy, and they sold everything that they had, and they were standing on the hillsides on October the 22nd, the day that it was supposed to happen, in their white ascension robes, and of course nothing happened, and it was called the Great Disappointment. And Jehovah's Witnesses actually came out of this movement, and it made numerous predictions about the end of the world. In 1914, for example, they said the world was going to end. Of course, World War I began that year, so they felt somewhat vindicated. And in 1918, they published an article that was entitled "Millions Now Living Will Never See Death." But you don't see that published by the Watchtower and Bible Tract Society much anymore, because as time goes on, there's fewer and fewer people who are alive at that time. And they also predicted 1925 would be the end of the world, 1975. I remember very well in 1988 a book that came out called 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return in 1988. And that actually got a lot more serious attention by evangelicals in this latest prediction. But of course, it didn't happen then. But what does the Bible say about all of this? What sort of guidance do we get from Scripture? How should we look at these things? Well, for one thing, the whole Protestant idea that Christ will return and that somehow the church will be snatched up out of the earth and then the judgment, the tribulation, will take place is a very recent idea that you don't find in any of the fathers of the church. And in fact, you don't find it in any of the Protestant reformers or any other Protestant writer until about 1850, when it was popularized by some Plymouth Brethren preacher, and it became what's known as dispensationalism, and it became more popular in the 1970s because of a guy by the name of Hal Lindsey. And I remember very well as a kid growing up as an evangelical, on an almost weekly basis, being scared to death about with predictions that the world was coming to an end. And when you had the Soviet Union with a nuclear arsenal pointed at us, and our nuclear arsenal pointed at them, and hair trigger, protocols, it didn't seem like a remote possibility. And there were people who would make decisions based on this. I don't know if it's worth my time to go to college because the world would probably end before I would graduate. So why would I want to waste my time when I could do something else good? Well, if you made your decisions based on that in the 1970s, you made a big mistake because obviously that didn't happen. We shouldn't live our life based on some fear that the world is going to come to some sudden end, although it might. And if it doesn't come to a sudden end for everybody in the world, it could come to a sudden end for you at any time because we never know the day of our death. But the Apostle John, in his first epistle, made this statement. He said, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. And so since the very earliest days of the church, there's been the understanding that yes, Christ will come again. Yes, there will be an Antichrist. Yes, there will be a great time of persecution. But even in the days of the apostles, many Antichrists had already come. There's been a constant persecution of the church since the first century to this day. And if you lived in Russia in the 1920s and 30s, you would have been, well justified perhaps by your circumstances in thinking maybe that was the end of the world. There have been many times when things look very bleak, and things don't look really great today. When you look at the rise of immorality and the decline in belief, it's quite possible that we may be approaching the end. But then again, that may not be true. It may be that there'll be another 1,000 or 2,000 years before the end will come. Christ said in the Gospels, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And also St. Peter, in his second epistle, says, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And so the Apostle Peter predicted that towards the end people would scoff, and of course we see people scoffing at this latest prediction, and with some justification, of course, but the scoffing will continue to increase, partly the fault of people making erroneous predictions, but also because people are declining in their faith, they're turning against God, they're mocking the scriptures, they're mocking God, and they don't want to believe that a day of reckoning will come. But we should not allow all of these things, false predictions or the rise of unbelief, to cause us to waver in our belief that Christ will in fact come. There will be an end of things. Even scientists know for a fact that one day the sun would go supernova if the universe was left to its devices and the world would come to an end at that point. So there is a day when this would end, we know for sure, scientifically. But if we believe the scriptures, we know that Christ will come and he will come to judge both the living and the dead. St. Peter goes on to say, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The return of Christ is not something that we should live in fear of. It's something that we should be prepared for. St. Paul refers to the coming of Christ as our blessed hope. It's not something that we should be scaring our children with. It's something that we should be anticipating with joy. Because if, in fact, we are prepared to meet Christ, it will be a great day of rejoicing. So we should be watchful and not fearful. As our Lord said, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching.